Let's talk about a condition which blights so many lives here in Northern Ireland. We're talking about depression. Soap actress Beverly Callard, best known as Liz McDonald from Coronation Street, opened up about suffering from depression over the weekend. She has battled recurring bouts of clinical depression for years, admitting to the Sunday Mirror at the weekend that she has been feeling so low that she felt suicidal. It's something that Mark Kelly from Derry knows all about, and I've been speaking to him about his own fight against depression, and I began by asking him to take me back to the beginning and when he first realised things weren't just quite right.
There was always an underlying feeling there wasn't something right, but when it actually came to a head would have been probably 2009, and I was going through a pretty stressful period of the job at the time. And I ended up having panic attacks from work, and it came to the point where I near enough had a nervous breakdown. And that's when I was first diagnosed suffering was anxiety and stress at the time. But that carried on for a couple of years, and I just sort of drifted in and out of seeking help and medication. I was sort of mostly self-medicating a lot of the time.
Mm-hmm.
But the real breaking point came probably October, November 2014, I just made a conscious decision that I needed to do something. I finally realised that this was supposed to be wrong. And then I started making small steps towards, firstly, looking towards getting back to see my doctor and looking to get back on medication.
Mm-hmm.
And that was going okay. A couple of things happened then, the start of the year, 2015. Was involved in a minor car collision. So that sort of just set me back in terms of my mood went down again, and I wasn't too sure what was happening. Then my young cousin, who was 18 at the time, Paddy, he took his own life, and that really just knocked me for six. It completely destroyed me, and I wasn't sure I was going to be able to recover from it. So the thing that really helped, that's really snapped my illness into focus, was that grief.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started taking steps to deal with the grief, and I realised as I was dealing with that, I was actually taking small steps to deal with the mental illness that I've been living with. So I'd really been living with it,
yeah.
but not so much knowing about it, mostly not accepting it, yeah. And mostly not admitting it.
And when was the first time that you thought this could be depression?
Fleeting moments throughout my teen years, my 20s, and I thought, God, maybe there's something, maybe I'm depressed. And then I just wrote it off as being the way I am. You know, this is just how I am. I'm just a bit low.
Mm-hmm. And what was happening then to make you think like that? And what age were you?
When I was from about 18 through to about 24, 25, I went off to England to study, and I was really, a lot of what I was doing was just developing myself as a person, because I was very, very shy and very closed away as a young man. And the biggest thing I couldn't get my head around is that I couldn't, for some reason, just complete my degree. And it was looming over my head like a huge weight. I thought, I just have to get this done, but I couldn't do it. And I couldn't for the life of me figure out why. It was only when I look back now that I realised that all the things I've been going through as a younger man was me trying to cope with my depression in the only way that I knew how. So, and a lot of that was it was alcohol. It would have been spending money was a small release.
Mm-hmm.
And just silly things like that. There, just sort of taking it to excess.
Mm-hmm. And how low did you get?
The thing is, when you're down, the lowest you'll ever get is suicidal. And pardon the phrase, but I have looked down the barrel of that gun a few times. It's just times whenever you think you're at your lowest ebb, and you think, well, things aren't ever going to get any better. And the thing is, you feel that they're only going to get worse. Say to yourself constantly, what's the point? So a few times, yeah, I had made plans on ways just to find a way out of it.
Mm-hmm. And how did you manage to climb out of that hole? How did you manage to recover from that particular point where you're actually planning to take your own life?
The main thing that kept me from doing it was the thought of my family and the effect it would have on them. But then it was mainly my younger cousins. I was very close to all of them. We almost had a brotherly bond. And then there was the fact that I have a younger sister and a younger brother too. And just, it was mainly the thought of them, the thought of not seeing them anymore, that stopped me from it. And then I honestly think somewhere deep down inside of me, there's a tiny glimmer of hope. And it was, for one reason or another, it was always fighting to try and break through.
And what about your family? Did you fight this battle alone, or did you call out for help? Were they aware of what you were going through?
Mostly alone. That's one thing about an illness like depression is an illness that it isolates you very quickly. You do tend to become very solitary. Firstly, you think that you're the only person that's going through this. You're the only person that has this burden to carry. You don't want to share it with other people because you feel it's going to be a burden to them. Plus, whenever the low mood and the depression sets in, first thing it attacks is your sense of yourself. Your self-esteem goes out the window, so you don't see any point in trying to reach out to anybody because you just feel that no one's going to reach back.
Mm-hmm. It drags you down.
It does. It drags you down and it keeps you down.
We often hear, of course, experts telling us that men in particular find it hard to reach out for help because of male pride. Was that a factor?
I don't know if it was male pride. I think probably the biggest hurdle was the fact that I refused to admit that I had an illness. I suppose in some sense it was a male ego in the sense that, you know, there's nothing wrong with me. Sure, I'm not sick. Why do I need help? That was part of it. And then even up to like 10, 15 years ago, people rarely talked about depression, and it was the sort of thing that you only heard about in middle-aged housewives having, and it was the kind of thing, for me anyway, in my head, it was always sort of a middle-class disease. Not even disease, it was sort of a symptom of middle-class life. Mm-hmm. I thought, well, firstly, I'm not middle-class. Secondly, I've nothing to be down about. So what happened? So what's the point in talking to anybody because nobody will believe me anyway. Mm-hmm.
And the turning point for you was whenever your cousin took his own life and then things quickly fell into sharp focus for you. Is that right? And you felt you needed to do something?
It really just helped me snap things. And a few things happened just after Paddy died. There was, firstly, the intense feeling of pain and then the realization that it can't get any worse and things could only get better. And then I had the absolute fortune to be involved with the Temple Project with David Best. Mm-hmm. I met him. And I was only helped out on the final stages of it, but meeting him was a big, big changer for me. I remember one thing he said. Well, the last thing he said to me before he went back to the States, he could see that I was sad, and he could see that I was deeply, deeply upset. And he just turned around to me and he said, "Mark, you've got to change that story." And I said, "What do you mean, David?" He says, "You can either spend the rest of your life living this story of grieving for Paddy, or you can change that story and make it one of your own." And now those words struck a chord with me, and it made me realize, well, yeah, I do need to do something. And if I do need to do something, then the power to do it is actually only going to come from one place. It's only going to come from myself. And then the thought of Paddy as well, in a lot of respects, his memory, the memory of him, spurs me on a lot of times when I'm feeling a bit down. Mm-hmm.
And how are you today then, Mark? Do you still carry that depression somewhere in your mind? Is it somewhere there lurking in the background, or do you think you're now at the other side?
I wouldn't say I'm at the other side yet. Probably would say I'm going through it, but I'm looking out the other end. I'm not looking back. Said to somebody before, it's like you're in a tunnel, and when you're down in the depths of it, it's a completely dark, closed off tunnel. But I'm at the stage now where I can see light poking through, and all I can do is just keep moving forwards towards that.
Mm-hmm. And is it on your mind every day that it's there somewhere?
And as much as somebody who's living with a long term illness thinks about it, you don't consciously think about it every day. You sort of, once you accept that there is an illness there, you can be, I wouldn't say comfortable, but you acknowledge that it's there. And there are days when it does. Some days are worse than others. I just take each day as it comes. Mm-hmm. So I don't sit down at the end of each day and think, well, tomorrow's going to be a good day or tomorrow's going to be a bad day. Just sort of think, well, I'll wake up. Once I wake up, I think, right, how do I feel now? And most days, I'll feel okay. Mm-hmm. And then that'll let me get up, go on, and do something. And then the days you feel bad, in the past, I would have just lingered on those. Those bad days would have turned into bad weeks. A bad week. Bad weeks would have turned into a bad month. So on and so forth. Now, you just try to take one day as it comes and appreciate each day, good or bad, for what it is. And no matter what happens, when the bad days come, you're able to, the self-talk, you can sit down and say to yourself, well, you've gotten through all the other bad days before, so you're going to get through this bad day, and there's a chance that tomorrow could be slightly better.
The fact that you're open now about your depression and you talk about it publicly to people about what you've come through and what you've suffered and the journey that you're still on, has that made a difference for you?
It's made me realise that firstly I'm not alone. There's a sliver of comfort in that, but at the same time you don't take too much comfort, because still people are battling an illness, and it can be a severely debilitating illness. I suppose the thing that I take most from that is if I can stand up and speak about what's going on for me, if there's another guy out there who is feeling in a similar circumstance and he feels voiceless, he might be able to look at me and say, well, he found a voice. Maybe there's hope for me to find one yet. And that's it. I say to people, I don't really talk about it as a form of self-aggrandizement. It's mm-hmm. more a case of, for me, I mean, there could be nine other men out there who are stuck in this black hole, and they have no way of voicing how bad it is. And if someone like me can stand up and shout as loud as they can about, hey, you know what, this is a real thing that affects people, and it can have fatal consequences. Now, if I can stand up and shout about that, then if they can hear that, then they might be able to take some small sense of comfort from it. That's mainly why I do what I do.
And what about the stigma of mental health out there? People are still reluctant to embrace what they have sometimes, to face up to the fact that they're suffering from something, because they fear it could have job implications, it could have implications for family life. What mm-hmm. would you say to people this morning who are grappling with all of those things in their head?
I would acknowledge the stigma. I have encountered it. I would just say to them that if you do feel that things are so bad, if you feel like you're backed into a corner, the best thing to do is talk. Mm-hmm. Talk about it.
How did you encounter the stigma, just Mark, you mentioned there?
It's never been overt. It's always been somewhat implicit.
In what way?
I think in terms of mainly in the workplace. I mean, I remember whenever I was applying for jobs, and I was talking to friends, telling them about gaps in my CV and that, and they were saying to me, whatever you do, don't tell them you were off with depression, or don't tell them that you're suffering from depression. And I said, why not? They said to me that there's probably still a bit of a stigma in the workplace about it. It's this idea that if you're open with someone about the fact that you have a mental illness, you know, you could be seen as a liability. And another thing as well, I noticed this probably around in social settings more than anything. If you're just really forthright about it, it can put people on the back foot a little bit. I suppose it could be the same way as when people started talking about cancer very openly for the first time. I think it's because you're putting it out there and you're putting it in people's faces, it's forcing them to deal with it. And it might be an issue that people don't really, I mean, people probably are aware of the fact that it's there, mm-hmm. and they are aware of the fact that they could be affected by it, but maybe they're thinking that, you know what, I don't speak about this, chances are it won't happen to me. Mm-hmm.
And you know that not to be the case?
No, that's definitely not the case. It can happen to anybody. Depression or any mental illness is an equal opportunity illness. It doesn't care who you are. It doesn't care what age you are. It doesn't care what race you are. It doesn't care what creed you hold. How much you can be rich, you can be poor. You know, you could be CEO of a worldwide organization. You could be a street sweeper. Mm-hmm. It doesn't care if it takes a hold of you. It takes a hold of you fully. And it whittles you down to a shadow of yourself.
And whenever you do have those high-profile people speaking out about it, like the soap actresses, like Alistair Campbell in the past talking about his battle with depression, mm-hmm. what does that mean to somebody like you who knows what it's like to be there?
It gives you a sense of I wouldn't say, you don't go around to people saying, go and see, I told you so, but you do have a sense of legitimacy. There's a feeling that, well, if this famous person or this high-profile person suffers from this illness, then you can see I'm not making it up. Mm-hmm. You know, not that I'm having a bad day. This is a real thing. Like Winston Churchill, you know, the man led Britain through World War II, yet he was battling probably the most severe bouts of depression that anyone could have possibly faced. He got through it. Now, people would say he did it in spite of it. Mm-hmm. And then same with Abraham. Abraham Lincoln was a known depressive as well. Mm-hmm. But there's other people that argue, you know what, they probably did what they did because of their depression, because they had to battle it so long. Mm-hmm. It gave them that moral fortitude to do what they did.
Do you take medication, Mark?
I've started to. I used to think that a lot of the things I would be doing would be in spite of it. And as people, somebody asked me if I could go back to when I was 13 or 14 and sort of put a hold on it and not make it happen, would I do that? And there's a small part of me that says, no, I wouldn't do that because it wouldn't have helped shape the person I'm becoming.
So your depression has helped shape you?
Yes, it most definitely has. It's a big part of. It's not who I am. It is a part of. It's a part of who I am. But it doesn't define me completely. But it has gone a big way in shaping who I am now. It'll go a big way in shaping the person that I become in the future.
You say that you're not out the other side yet, that you're still, I suppose, travelling along that difficult path, although you're in a much better place now than you were many, many years ago. Do you ever think that you will sink to the depths again?
I honestly don't know. I can't sit here and say definitively no. I just honestly don't know. But I know one thing. I'll be prepared for it if it does happen. So it'll be if I ever do sink, I'll know how to cope with it and I'll know how to handle it, and it won't be a long uphill struggle as it has been before. It'll be something that I'll be able to overcome. I would say fairly quickly.
And do you think you'll be able to stop before the suicidal thoughts come?
I don't think I would ever actually act on them. I can't stop the thoughts coming. The thoughts will come in some shape or another. It's like the same thoughts about missing Paddy and missing other relatives, or thoughts of lost relationships or friends that I know. Those just come. But the trick is not to dwell on them. When they come, you just acknowledge it. You acknowledge them as what they are. It's just simply thoughts, and then you deal with them, you process them, and you move on.
Well, Mark, we'll leave it there. Thank you so much indeed for talking to us on the programme this morning, and thanks for being so open and honest about your own depression.
Not at all. And then I would just say, if there's anybody listening and they do feel a need to talk to somebody, there's a lot of good organisations. I would say, well, AWARE have been a lifeline for me, and also there's Lifeline. They have a free phone number, and the Samaritans as well. There's a lot of people out there who will listen, so people needn't feel that they are alone.
Okay. Mark, thank you very much indeed for that. And we do have the numbers to hand for people out there. If they do feel they need somebody to talk to, you can contact the Lifeline number, which is 0808 808 8000. So that's 0808 808 8000, essentially. And the Samaritans as well, you can contact them on 116123. That's 116123. Mark, thank you very much indeed for talking to us.
Thank you, Andy. It's been a pleasure.
And indeed, many people already moved by what Mark had to say this morning. A lot of people out there in a similar place as to where Mark was a number of years back, and how they also are battling depression. Colin gets in touch to say, I can relate to Mark's story. Attempted suicide 6 years ago, and think there is still a stigma attached to males, especially when it comes to seeking help. Another texter says, depression, been there, still there. Another person gets in touch with the programme to say that Mark was very brave to speak out and talk about depression and how it has affected his life.